Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. If you are here for the first time today, you're probably wondering where everyone is. We had a massive wedding yesterday, and so lots of people stayed over at the wedding. So those of you who were like up dancing and you've still made it here this morning, like, well done, well done. So I hope you're all in there. Oh, well done, Jan. Were you giving it loads last night? So I hope you're all quite feeling quite interactive, because I could do with a bit of feedback, to be honest. So if you were in a film, who would you like to be? Spartacus. I'm Spartacus. Anyone else who'd like to be in a film? Yeah? Say again. Oh, lovely. Any others? Say that again. Black Panther. Black Panther. Nice one. And did I hear The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, Dorothy and The Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy and The Wizard of Oz. Oh, fabulous. Michael, what about you? Who? Oh, someone from the Railway Children. Oh, that's brilliant. I could see you doing that. James Bond, 007, Stephen, absolutely. Is there a hand up at the back there? Can you shout out what you'd like to be? And again? I don't know who that is, but that sounds fabulous. Alexander Hamilton. Who's Alexander Hamilton? See, I shouldn't have started this, should I? Because I don't know who everyone is. Go on, we'll go, yeah? What's yours?
Pikachu.
Pikachu. Now I'm on the page. So Pikachu and 007, I recognise those. Right. So there is a reason I've asked that question, because nobody has chosen the person that that I'm going to put on screen in a minute as to who I'd like to be. Not that I would like to be, but this is a person from a film. It's a Charles Dickens book. Is he up there? Oh, no, I am. Go on, let's have the picture of who this person is. So, you recognise this person? This is Ebenezer Scrooge. Is that you, Rachel? Yeah. So, the reason for Ebenezer Scrooge is because his life was one thing, and then he was transformed, and his life became something different. So, as you can see on that picture, he is miserable. He's a miser. He's rich, he's grumpy, he's isolated, he is alone, he is cold. And that's the reason that we've got the candle today, because in his office, he had like one candle, and poor Bob Cratchit, his employee, worked with one candle as the light, and there was one piece of coal on the fire. Oh, have we got any sympathy for Bob Cratchit? Poor Bob Cratchit putting up with that. But Scrooge was just so tight that he grasped everything that he had and he just didn't share it. And his favourite phrase was, bah humbug. And I looked up the definition of bah humbug, and it's used to express grumpy dislike of something generally regarded as enjoyable, in particular, Christmas. So Scrooge was just not happy about Christmas. He gave his employees one day off, which was Christmas Day. It's 11 weeks to Christmas. Have we got any bar humbugs?
Yeah. Or, yeah.
11 weeks to Christmas. But Scrooge becomes this transformed character, and we've got the next picture of him now. Just look at him there. He's got a little smile on his face. He's carrying Tiny Tim. He changes from being someone totally mean to someone who looks after others, someone who shares his wealth, someone who is generous, someone who gives of what he's got. And by that, his own life becomes blessed because he changes. Now, whenever I'm like due to preach or host the service, I always like to kind of keep a lookout for things like in the newspaper or something like that, because sometimes a heading catches my eye And I think that would be really good. I could use that in church. And I found this thing, and it's on about like different generations and what the generations are called. Okay. So if there's anyone here in this room who is aged 98 to 124, you are the greatest generation. Have we got anyone 98 and over? Dave Nutty, you're so not. Okay, the next generation, you are aged 80 to 97. Have we got any 80s? Oh, fabulous. Fabulous. Right, you're the silent generation. So if you could just like keep it down a bit, that would be great. That's what it says. I'm the next lot. If you're aged 61 to 79, we are the baby boomers. Yeah? Baby boomers, fabulous. If you are aged 45 to 60, you're Gen X. Yeah? Yeah? Good. If you're aged 29 to 44, you are the millennials. Agnes, you're not alone, surely. Then we've got, right, this generation, this is what started me on the track of this, because I saw this headline that said, Gen Z needs cheaper beer and sympathy. And they're aged 13 to 28. You do not need cheaper beer if you're 13. I'm really sorry, but you can have sympathy. So then Gen Alpha are the ages 1 to 12. Oh, Gen Alpha, lovely. And then if you are born in 2025, you are Gen Beta. So you are our up-and-coming generation. But the reason that I hooked into that is because of the word Gen. And it starts what we're going to talk about today, which is generosity. Generosity. And we are people who can, whatever age we are, we can be generous. We can learn it from being little, and we can develop it and build on it through our lives. As a church, we've kind of got three things, three missions, three dreams that we like hook into. And Lois preached into the first one last week, and that was growing spiritually. So as a church, we want to grow. We want to have lives that just like reflect what God's doing and that we live them out with fruit coming from them. And today we're going to look at living generously. And then next week, we're going to look at impacting our community. We want to become, as a church, more like Jesus. So I started to think about Ebenezer Scrooge and who in the Bible is like Ebenezer Scrooge. And I've landed on this one man. So we're just going to read about him now, see if he's the same man that you were perhaps thinking of. Okay, are we good to go? Yeah. So it's not Jesus. Jesus is the absolute opposite, of course. He is like full of generosity, full of love, full of kindness, full of giving. But he meets someone whose life needed to be transformed. I think I might have to turn around while I read this. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but he could not see because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he's only a little guy. Zacchaeus is only a little guy. And so he got this plan where he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree so that he would be able to see Jesus. So it tells us next that when Jesus reached the place, he looked up to Zacchaeus and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed Jesus with joy. And when the people saw it, they all began muttering. So the people, they went into bar humbug mode. They turned into Scrooge because they just didn't like what they saw. Zacchaeus was this guy who was rich and wealthy, but he'd got that way because he robbed from other people. And he was not a popular person. But he was about to meet Jesus, so the crowd are like, bah, humbug, he's gone to be the guest of a man who's a notorious sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "See, Lord, I am now giving half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I'll give them back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household." So Zacchaeus' meeting with Jesus transformed his life. He went from being one thing to total opposite. He went from grasping to giving. And the word that describes Zacchaeus in that is joy. He experienced joy because he had an encounter with Jesus and it changed his life. I love the part. There's one word in there, and when Zacchaeus makes that promise, he says, "Now I will give half my possessions to the poor." He doesn't put it off. He doesn't think, "Oh, I'll do it in a few months' time." He knows that change in his life is now, and he decides to look at what he's got and decide what he can give. But he's also convicted as well, because he knows that he's got his wealth because he's robbed other people, because he's overcharged them, because he's just like swindled them. He's cooked the books, as we might say, and he's done that for his benefit so he would get more money, so people would become poorer, but he would get richer, and that was what he's done. And Jesus looks at him, doesn't he, and he just says, "Today salvation's come to your house, Zacchaeus." Because he recognises that Zacchaeus has responded to what God is saying and asking him to do. There are some lovely verses in Proverbs, and it just describes what our life will be like when we start being generous. And it tells us that in Proverbs 11, it says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped." We don't kind of give or be generous with our time in order to get, but somehow that's just like a result of it, that somehow God just blesses us back for the kindness, for the care, for the love that we show to other people. It's not the motivation, it just happens. And the joy that we receive from being a generous people is just infectious for us. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard David preach, and he talked about car bumper stickers. And the sticker he mentioned is, "One life, live it," and then he added, "For God." And that's, we only get this one life to be generous. We only get this one life to live day after day. Are we living it for God? Are we living it generously like Jesus lived? I feel that when Zacchaeus met Jesus that day and everything changed for him, there was this like divine exchange that happened. Zacchaeus gave stuff to Jesus, and Jesus gave him something back in return. And it's in Isaiah 61. And it tells us that God bestows a crown of beauty instead of ashes. He bestows the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So that day in Zacchaeus' life, all he had to offer God was ashes, the ashes from his selfish life. And Jesus gave him a crown of beauty that he was going to wear from that day on. All Zacchaeus had to give was his mourning, his loneliness. But from that moment on, Jesus gave him the gladness and joy. All he had to give was his despair, the hidden hopelessness that was inside him that caused him to be as he was. And Jesus gave him like a garment of praise to wear. And his life, the before and after, showed that he was a changed person. The world of Zacchaeus got larger and larger. There's another kind of angle on generosity, because I feel to say, like, generosity can involve money, but today these thoughts are not really about money. It's about us being generous with us as people. It's not about, like, the financial side of it. It's about what we give of us. It's the question of, what are you spending your life on? What am I spending my life on? If we can look at Matthew 25, and these are Jesus' words. And Jesus said, I was hungry, I'll have to watch, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then they were going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. When we are generous in those ways, in as we reach out to others, we're doing that generosity, we're showing that kindness to Jesus himself. Though we might not recognize it, Jesus is on the receiving end of our generosity. I love those verses because there's a need, there's an action, but in the middle, there's two words, and those two words are, and you. So we'll look at each one differently on its own and see that, and you. So the first one is, I was hungry, and you fed me. Hunger was the need, and someone provided, met that need. And you, are we stepping into that gap to be the and you people who meet the need? In 2025, that need can be slightly different. So here I've put to cook a meal. We've had like quite a difficult 5 months. And there were some times when I just thought, I've not even got the brain space to think, what are we going to have for tea? Do you know, just a simple thing like that. And on a couple of occasions, someone like brought us a meal. And this meal did 2 nights, and it was just the best. It was just the best just to have this food given to us so that we could eat something and have it again the next night. It was amazing. But more than that, it was the fact that someone thought of us. You know that? Someone thought, oh, they're facing something that's a little bit difficult. What can I do to help? We'll cook them something. And to know that you're on someone's heart is a real blessing. That's a greater blessing as that delicious food was when it arrived. Who do you know that's going through something that's quite hard at the minute? Maybe someone who's got a little one that's not sleeping and they've not even got time to think about, can I cook a meal? And you could just provide a meal and take it round, and they would know that that was done with love for them. The next one is, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. In 2025, who could you take for a coffee? When you're the and you meeting that need, who could you just say, do you know, do you fancy a chat? Should we just meet up? Should we spend some time together? Let's just have a coffee. And it shows that you care like Jesus cares. The next one is, I was homeless and you gave me a room and you. So can we create a safe space for someone, a place where someone feels secure? And that can be done. I'm thinking like in our community groups that we're starting, or some have started, some are going to start soon. And it's a place perhaps in people's homes, or we might actually meet in the building here, but it's a safe space where people can just feel secure. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. And when I thought about this, I thought about people who get alongside us and who meet us in our loneliness and show us friendship, who combat the cold with some love and encouragement. And that can be just a simple hug, maybe a handshake, some warmth, some human warmth. And you met that need. And it's, and I was sick, and you stopped to visit. And this is about like giving time to people. So if we know that people are not well, or we know that people are having a bit of a difficult time, maybe we can just stop and just ask, how are you doing? One of the things that has greatly blessed me in the last few months was someone one Sunday who realized that I wasn't actually at church on a Sunday and asked after me, and then sent a message with a prayer in it to say, I'm praying for you. And that was such a blessing to get that text message and to read that prayer. It lifted my heart. We can do that kind of things. These things, they're not money. They're us responding generously like Jesus would. And I think the final one is when I was in prison and you came to me. And this is like sitting with people who are going through some really, really difficult circumstances. And it's just about, we can't always do anything to help. We can't always have an answer, but we can be there. We can be there and we can sit with people and we can just let them know we're here and we're for you. Because when we do it to others, when we show this generosity, this kindness to others, we're actually doing it to Jesus himself. We're spending ourselves in a way that will bless Jesus. And we see like how Jesus lived generously, because he just like fed people, didn't he? Those six things, he did it. He had people on a hillside who were hungry, and he took some bread and he took some fishes and he just divided it, and it like fed multitudes of people because Jesus is generous. He met the thirsty people, the woman who was at the well, and he just said to her, I can be that living water that you need. He created safe places for people. I think about the other woman who came, and she was like at his feet, and she'd been brought by other people because they said she had committed adultery, and people wanted to actually stone her and take her life. But Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you, go in peace. He creates the safe place. He tells a story of like the prodigal son who ends up coming home in rags, but he gets a royal robe. He changes him from royal, you know, rags to royal robes. And in the Gospels, in the first books of the New Testament, we're told story after story after story where Jesus heals people. He gives the blind the sight back. He helps the lame to walk. He cures people. And he's there for people all the time. This is my last slide now. And I'm trying to learn the Farsi language. So we'll have it on screen and I'll do my best. Okay? So Das Dodelbaz, I hope I've said that right, means generous. Das is hand, yeah? Del is heart. I'm getting the thumbs up, yeah? Das Dodelbaz. And it means open-hearted, open-handed. Generosity starts at your heart. It's not just an action. It's not, oh, be generous tomorrow. It starts with your heart, that you are so moved that you want to do something. You want to meet other people's needs. You want to be the and you. And it all starts for us because of God's generosity to us. This cross was on the stage yesterday for the wedding. Ben and Caitlin had asked for this to be here. And last night I was thinking, I really hope that cross is still there this morning. And it is. Because as we are coming up to Christmas, which is 11 weeks away, that is the start of God showing his love to us, isn't it? Of the baby of Bethlehem being born, of Christ coming into the world, of the light of the world coming for us. But as Christians, we follow that story through, don't we, for 33 years. And we know that for Jesus, his generosity meant his life laid down on a cross. Yeah, for us, for me. That is the greatest generosity that there is. So, Ebenezer Scrooge, that miserable old man at the start who was transformed and changed into like this joy giver, he has this beautiful quote and he says, I will honour Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. So how about if we got that spirit that he's talking about, that idea, that vision that Christmas isn't just for this event in 11 weeks' time, but it's something that we carry with us and we take it with us, the generosity of God that we've received, and we're giving it out to others. Yesterday at Ben and Caitlin's wedding, I have to have a confession here. I'm not like a small talker. Do you know what I mean? I can't do that. Oh, hi, how are you? Hi. Like kissing people. It's just not me. So I end up having these conversations with people that are like really deep. And then I'm like, this is just not the place. We're at a wedding. We're meant to be celebrating. And I'm having like these conversations. But I spoke to this. I'm quite boring, really, because I just can't do the small talk. But anyway, I spoke to this guy yesterday, this young guy, who probably came to church about 3 or 4 years ago. And he just said something that really struck me. He said, I fell in love with God's people before I fell in love with him. And he unpacked that a bit because he'd been on the receiving end of people's generosity. He'd been on the receiving end of people who learnt his name, people who showed an interest and who like shared a genuine care and concern for him. And that love warmed his life and that love attracted him to Jesus. And he's now connected somewhere else in the country, connected with a different church, serving God, worshipping and loving him because he came here and he felt the love of God's people.